This is a podcast from Minute Media.
It would be a Wolves fan, eh?
On goes Paul. People might yet win it here for Wolves. Flat in the shot. What a goal!
Hello, 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 and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. Joining me today to chat about Wolves, yet again, drab game. Our 1-1 draw tonight, I've got Tom. Tom, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, not bad, mate, thanks. Yeah, can't complain.
We were just saying before we started recording how we could feel like just there's a bit of apathy around Wolves at the moment, and I think we're all a bit scared and anxious about what's going to happen with Ruben Neves after yesterday as well. It seemed like there was a bit of an atmosphere in terms of an end of an era stuff as well, which we'll dig into in a bit. But we'll talk about the Norwich game first, and we'll try and get that out of the way, because let's be honest, it was like Wolves of old in a way. In terms of if we kind of go to the beginning, the starting lineup I thought was a interesting one. Three subs from the Man City game, which we talked about the other day. Rudy comes in, Gomez comes in, and Hwang comes in. Which ones were you sort of most surprised about? Because they all kind of felt a bit of left field.
Yeah, I was obviously surprised about Rudy. That was sort of the biggest one. Although how Chiquinho hasn't started and Hwang has is completely beyond me. I don't know what was going on. The others, sort of almost like picked themselves, didn't they, really? The thing with the Chiquinho / Hwang one was, I mean, it's bad enough in itself, but then when you consider that he put Raul on the right, just made it even worse, even more perplexing, and Hwang in the middle, Raul on the right. I mean, what was going on?
It seemed just like a really odd choice all round, to be honest, because I know we were chatting before the game about whether Europe was still on for Wolves, and it would have taken us winning both of our games and West Ham to lose both of theirs, which neither things have happened. But when I saw the lineup, I could understand why people kind of suggested that he'd bottled it. But at the same time, and I know we drew, and I know, but we were against bottom of the table Norwich, who have shit. Their goal difference is what, minus 56 or something?
It's silly. Terrible.
And, if we're worried about starting John Ruddy in goal, then I don't want to sound too cold, but we probably shouldn't have him as our goalkeeper. And, again, when you got a Hwang up front, and I know we've been critical of him, we were critical of him literally 3 days ago. But you're telling me, give Trincão a go, give Silva. Silva's supposed to be this player who we're really trying to push and develop. And you could have so easily have played a slightly different formation if you went, Neto just behind Silva and Jimenez, or even kept Jimenez on the right, which he's done a couple of times now, and
He did it at Burnley, didn't he? And it didn't work at Burnley, so why is it going to magically work now? And even at Burnley, I mean, you could sort of half accept it, because he still had a centre forward, in the middle, Fabio. But with this, he's got a wide player playing centre forward, and he's pushed his main number nine out on the right. I just didn't understand that whatsoever. And like I say, what's Chiquinho got to do to get a game after his performance the other day? And Fabio as well, season's done. Let's get Fabio some minutes. He needs them, and he deserves them as well.
That's it. And for me, it's either you can go full hog, or you, in terms of, not the season's right off, but you give players minutes that you want to develop. So I can understand, to be fair, I know I said Trincão, but I can understand why you wouldn't start him just to give him minutes, because there's other players who we definitely know are going to be in next season. So you say, definitely give Chiquinho as many minutes as possible. He's showing what he can do. Give as many minutes to Silva. And to be fair, I could understand Tosi to a same.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no complaints to Tosi playing at all. No.
Just get given those extra game times to see what they can do. But as I say, it didn't kind of seem to like have a. If I say it didn't like have a theme to the team.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it wasn't.
I was going to say, do you know what I mean? And then I've gone for three rhymes in a row there. but yeah, it didn't seem to like. It didn't feel that it made a lot of sense in a way.
No, and if you're going to, you know, sort of half. I know it wasn't quite four at the back at City, but it, you know, it was a gambled formation, sort of 4/5 at the back. You did that against City, and then you don't do it against Norwich, and you just consider and you play five at the back. It just again, it just didn't. Yeah. It didn't make sense to me at all, to be honest.
Yeah, they say like we literally went from playing the best team in the league to the poorest, and the formations, the tactics didn't seem to suit up. Which yeah, surprise was a bit surprising, but again, it just felt again that they didn't really get going at all throughout the game. Still really struggled to make an impact. And you know, the warning signs were there from Norwich. They kept like carving us open almost at will, it felt like, at points.
Yeah, and that's an embarrassment in itself, isn't it? Let's face it. I mean, yeah. Pukki's not a great player, but his movement, I mean, it just shows you what we've not had this season. His movement was anything better than what we've seen this season by our lot. And, it, you know, he didn't have to do anything too spectacular. He just made a few little runs off the last man. And when's like we've seen a Wolves player do that recently? And I think Bolly's done. I know Stu mentioned it last week, but I mean, if you needed any further proof, he's done. Yeah, he was going in every. I mean, did he have two or maybe even three 1-on-1s on the right hand side? You know, on our right, and we were lucky to get away with him. I mean, Tosi made a great clearance from that one after Ruddy saved it, but yeah, it wasn't good. The first half was so drab and boring. If it had been a better team, would have been 2-3 down.
Well, yeah, so like the fact that Norwich didn't score earlier, you know, he had a great chance sort of just, I was say just before the goal, we had like that like almost curved effort from Bolly's side, and you say, did you think like, what's happening? Because we just couldn't get a foothold in the game, and to be fair, like not Norwich don't have anything to play for, they're just, you know, going around the races, aren't they, to be honest, and seeing out the season. And then of course they did score, and it was, I almost laughed
because it was pathetic, wasn't it? Just an absolute nothing.
It's like it wasn't they didn't try, but it just felt like their boots were heavy. They just couldn't get out. And like Timo Pukki is notoriously known for being slow. It's not like someone's like, you know, it's not a Jaden Vardy who's like blistered past, you know, Cody. Like, fair enough. Just felt like we gave him all the time in the bloody world.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it back because I can't be bothered. But the players this season, on the back end of this season, but they look like they don't let many men in the box themselves. And we had about three or four defenders around him, and they still somehow managed to just like, you know, fashion a piss poor shot that's just gone through all of them and everyone's motionless.
Yeah, pretty much. We're joined by, I was going to say, not just one Tom, but two now. Other Tom, how are you doing, mate?
I'm good. Better late than never, but yeah, it's good to be on.
I was going to say, that's more than okay. We were just talking about Norwich's goal and, well, frankly, how poor it was.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I joined, I could hear Tom speaking about something, and I could kind of infer from the negativity that it was probably to do with either just our general performance or the goal that came in that first half. But I would like to say that I was surprised that Norwich went 1-0 up, but I completely wasn't. It was actually, you know, I think it was probably the first, well, that main kind of moment in the season for me where I just thought, like, this cannot get any worse. Off the back of a drubbing from Man City, losing against a team that are already done for. Not a very nice 45 minutes, that first half in particular, for sure.
Yeah, it felt kind of even going into like half time with the booze at half time. Like there was a proper, like, I was gonna say dodgy atmosphere, but it did feel like it was a real kind of melting pot. Like the last couple of weeks, and particularly like the last 24 hours on social media, there's been a lot of, say, a lot. I've seen calls for like Bruno to go and things like that, and it feels like there's, I don't know, something not quite right all of a sudden. Wolves came out after half time, and we sang Chiquinho's praises after pretty much every time he's played for us. Sang his praises after Man City. See him on the bench, you know, well, like maybe he's knackered, fair enough. But then he comes out, see him half time ago, fair enough, I'm happy with that. And then you see Cody Sawney's come off. I was like, ooh. I was,
yeah, that happened once before, didn't it? Didn't he get subbed off against the Baggies last season?
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah, it was odd. And also a similar kind of thing where he got subbed off. And I think that was also the moment when I thought Nuno's gone. He's not, like,
yeah, I thought exactly out. The same. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's quite reminiscent of that. I mean, who knows, but it's an odd call to make, you know, and we arguably played much better in the second half and actually fucking gave it some welly. But just a really weird decision to make on that last home game of the season to take your club captain off, for sure.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, formation-wise, we changed before, you know, we changed it up. We still kept with that back, with a back three, and Johnny kind of comes in, and you know, we thought Bolly was a bit crap first half as well, and you could argue, well, take Bolly off and you bring Johnny inside.
Yeah, I thought it would have been Bolly. Yeah, I don't know how Bolly stayed on ahead of Cody. I mean, look, Cody wasn't great at all, but Bolly was dire. Like, I don't know how he stayed on ahead of him.
Yeah.
I think personally, I don't know why Bolly started the game, really. I just don't think he's been particularly convincing since maybe the first game he played for us after that spell out, however long it's been. I'm really confused by that. Really, really confused. I thought after his injury, and then he kind of just disappeared off the face of the earth. There wasn't any kind of, we didn't really know whether he was injured or wasn't injured or just wasn't fit. And then there was a whole thing about the African Cup of Nations. Is he in the squad? Is he not in the squad? And he's had a really odd year. And the fact that he's been picked over the last, what is it, 4 or 5 games, you know, over Kilman and things, I'm just really confused about. But yeah, he didn't cover himself in glory on the weekend.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost like yet again. That's the disappointing thing that, you know, we've had this conversation about Bolly about 4 games in a row, and we've said similar about Cody. And you know, with Cody in particular, I think when he struggles, the whole team struggles, and it is really apparent that if he's not on his game, and whether it's from like an organisational point of view or from him actually being able to have a bit of control on the ball, like the whole team suffers. And I think we sort of must have said before that, you know, if he's not being able to pass it out, if he's not organising, there's no point in playing, because there's other people who can do that job essentially higher up the pitch, like Neves. You know, that's who you need to be getting on the ball more often if you can do then. But Chiquinho did what Chiquinho does. You know, he was the one who gave us that impetus. He was the one who gave us a bit more driving for second half, and you know, wasn't the prettiest goal in the world. But 8-0, first of the season. Again, someone who's quietly gone under the radar, I think, a lot this season is Ait Nouri, because he's been probably one of our most consistent players, even if he's not made a lot of show-stopping performances, would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think generally when he's coming, he's played pretty well. There's only a couple of shaky moments, I think. The leads, I think he got caught under the ball a couple of times. But by and large, I don't think he's really let us down. He blows himself out. I think the last sort of 5-10 minutes, he loses a lot of puff, and you've seen that by him going down by cramp or being taken off. And sometimes I don't think maybe that goes into Bruno's thinking a little bit when he plays him, because he thinks he might have to make it, you know, it might be one sub that he's forced to make later on in a game because of his fitness. But, you know, I mean, I remember Liverpool at home, he was absolutely fantastic. Like, yeah, it's his best performance in a Wolves shirt for me. And generally, he's done pretty well. And I think he's the least of our worries at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's safe to say he has gone under the radar. I think he's quite solid as well at the back. I think he loves a tackle and he's good at tracking his man. And you're right. I think it was also maybe Brentford at home, that really disappointing game where he really struggled to push forwards. He kept checking his run and going back and playing it back out to the other side of the pitch. But I'm quite surprised by that statistic. That's his first goal this season, considering didn't he score on his debut against Palace or something like that? Yeah.
And I think
bloody hell, who's this? But and it was a cracking goal as well. But no, I think it's safe to say he probably deserves a goal after this season. And I like a player who's all heart, and I think he definitely falls into that category.
Yeah, I think fact that we've seen more than enough times, and you have that bit of pinball wizard in the box to actually get your head on the end of it and took it home. It was, you know, it was really good to see. I was going to say, speaking of, he does like a tackle, and I think we all probably, I know his stats last season defensively were rubbish, but you look at him this season, he's leaps and bounds better defensively this year. And you mentioned he likes to tackle. I'll tell you who else does love a tackle is Toti Gomez. I tell you what, he's going to get ascended off at some point next season, but I know I'm going to fall in love with him because he's just going to replace Roman Saiss.
He's got Ella Kobe vibes about him, I think.
Yeah,
he's that type, isn't he? Yeah, I think he's going to be a fan's favourite. But you know what was good? He was one of the only players you could tell he was up for it. He was really up for it. Yeah. I think him, Neves, he was okay, he wasn't great, but you could tell he was up for it. He was going into tackles and things. Chiquinho when he came on, Neto maybe, but I couldn't say I saw much fight from the other guys, to be honest. They just sort of like meandered through the game. Mate Nori maybe. But yeah, there wasn't much fight in it for me, and I think that was been the case for the last few weeks.
Yeah,
I agree. I think he's a neat and tidy player, isn't he, Totti? Every time he's played, he's been quite impressive. I think, you know, it's interesting to see what you say, Tom, as well. Like, it's Totti and Neves, the two players that are giving it stacks in the game. And they're almost in two different points of their Wolves careers, aren't they? You've got Totti, who's, you know, well, I mean, I hope that's not the case, but you've got Totti, who's, I've got a point to prove here, and you've got Neves thinking, who this could be my last game at the Molineux, and I've got to give it my all. But yeah, well, let's not linger on that too much right now.
Yeah, I think it was good to see. I think, interesting, either players you mentioned, you'd say put a considered amount of effort in, all on the younger side, and all, you know, the less sort of seasoned vets who, you know, Toti Gomez has got a lot to prove and a lot to play for. You know, he's the sort of player who could be in that, you know, choice for being starting choice centre half next season, or he ends up back on loan out as somewhere. So he needs to make sure he's as visible as possible. And, you know, as I mentioned before, he likes a big tackle, but he's good on the ball. I think that was the thing that first attracted him to Wolves fans, as it were. Like, you know, when he got recalled back off loan from Zurich, and all the, you know, the clips with him with the ball at his feet just gliding past players like they weren't there. And, you know, obviously the step up from playing in Switzerland to Premier League's going to make it difficult for him to be able to do that. But, you know, in what, half a dozen games he's played this season, he's not let us down. And on the other side, we had Max Kilman for three quarters of the season before his injury. And his arc was similar last season, that he rarely let us down. It's not a bad foundation to build upon. But apart from that second half, we huffed and puffed a little bit. Norwich had a couple of chances again. Silva had a chance towards the end as well. But after we scored, it did feel like this was just going to end 1-1, didn't it?
Yeah, we had that spell about 10 minutes, 15 minutes when it was just relentless attack and the crowd were up, and I thought, hey, this is all right, this, and, you know, we'll snatch one here. And I think, was it Neto had that header that was tipped over?
Yeah.
That was another Chiquinho cross, I believe. I think he probably should have scored. I think he's put it too close to the keeper, should be heading that down. But that was the last chance of note I remember. Yeah, like I said, Silva got in behind, cut it back, but I can't really remember much else, to be honest, which is a sad indictment, really, when you're playing against Norwich.
Yeah, and you know, Norwich weren't exactly like... I know he switched to a back three, but they weren't sticking 10 men behind the ball. We just lacked any real creativity or like impetus to really push for boat out, I think.
Story of the season.
Yeah, I think
latter half of the season for sure.
I think it's been such a weird season, like reflecting on it.
And how the fuck are we still eighth? Like I just don't get it.
I was gonna say
we'll finish eighth.
I'm going to skip to my segment then because I think that's quite an interesting one. So that's left Wolves at the moment. Somehow, I do not quite know with Wolves having a game left on 51 points, still in eighth. Now, I think I've worked out that Wolves can actually finish, 11th in theory? So the teams that can still overtake us are Leicester, Brighton and Crystal Palace, because Crystal Palace, of course, have a very big difference. They're on 45 points, so they can sort of climb the six places, but they also have 4+ goal difference compared to 1-3. Now, I did a bit of research, by which I mean I had a really quick look on PremierLeague.com before recording. And did a really crap graphic just to show you who's got what in terms of games coming up. So we've obviously got Liverpool, Leicester have got Chelsea and Southampton, Brighton have got West Ham, and Crystal Palace have got Everton and Man United. Now you can see those games in front of you. Bearing in mind what the league table says as well, genuinely... Where do you think we're actually going to finish? Because I'm starting to get antsy that we're going to finish 11th.
Oh, mate, it's so dreadful, isn't it? I think Crystal Palace, they could get 6 points out of those two games, 100%, if not 4. Brighton are on really good form, as are West Ham. I think that's probably going to be quite a good game, actually, that Brighton-West Ham game, even just as a neutral. And then with Leicester, Chelsea, they could lose or beat anyone. And that's been probably the case for them all season. And I think Leicester could potentially spank Southampton. So I think we are in the most difficult position here, for sure.
Because, I mean, like, not to be too pessimistic, but I think it feels fairly obvious that Wolves are going to finish with 51 points and not beat Liverpool. I think without saying, we'll be realistic. If we get a point, it'll be a minor miracle.
The only way that doesn't happen is if the title's gone by then. Yeah. And even then it's a stretch because I still back Liverpool's second team to beat us anyway. But the only way that happens is if Southampton, do Liverpool have to win? Or can they draw and still be in it? I think they can draw. They're 4 points off. I think they can draw and still be in it in theory.
I mean, I'm probably more worried if they do draw tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll smash. Yeah,
then they will want to smash us.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll want to what Man City did to us last week.
Just a double whammy.
It's I do hate it when you play like genuinely good teams after they lose a game, because if it's someone who's a bit fragile, you're like, oh, actually, you know what? We can get something out of them here. When it's like Man City or Liverpool, it's like they are going to murder whatever team is in front of them and just go through them like an absolute fucking freight train.
But that's been the Guardiola way, though, isn't it? If he ever gets embarrassed or showed up or they lose those games like they did against Madrid, it's like whoever they're playing next is just in the firing line. It's awful. It is.
Looping back to the end of the game, after full time, a couple of things I wanted to sort of pick up on was the players player and fans player of the year was Jose Sarr. We all in agreement that was fair.
Yeah, he was my pick for both. Yeah,
Yeah, same here. I think there was lots of rumbles about him all through the season, really, from different commentators, from different games watched, just saying been one of the signings of the season, really. I think it's really, you can't underestimate how difficult it is trying to kind of recruit the right goalkeeper. I think that's a really difficult position to fill. And often, because it's such a unique position on the pitch, they are sometimes and often the first players that the media and fans and whoever it might be go to blame the reason why there's poor form or you're losing matches. So I think he's done really, really well this season, and he's proved that he's up there, and, you know, he's even got a place in the Portugal squad this year. So yeah, really, really positive signing, and I agree.
Yeah, he's earned us more points than any other player.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters, isn't it? Points are all that matter. So at the end of the day, he's done his job there.
Yeah. I mean, I was more than confident when he joined that he'd be a good addition. And, you know, the fact that we did financially well on the deal, even better. I didn't think he'd be this good or have this much of an impact. And, you know, the numbers are one thing. The eye test is the other. You know, he's made big saves when we've needed him to. Yeah, he's not got it right a couple of times with a couple of those penalties. But if you look at literally every other Wolves player, the only other player I think would be in contention is Ruben Neves. And I think you could probably argue that his highs have been higher than Jose Sarr's in terms of some of those performances. But there have been a few stinkers in there. He had the injury as well, so that's knocked him out for a little bit of a kind of a key period as well when it comes to voting for this stuff anyway. As Ryan Darks sort of says in the YouTube comments, has anyone else been cutting onions since accepting it's probably the last time seeing Ruben Neves in a Wolves shirt at Molineux? So again, as they were doing their lap of honour, it's been doing the rounds a lot, but Ruben Neves looking very emotional. Tom, yeah, I don't know which one I'm addressing this to when I say Tom. Tom's, should we read really far into what this could mean?
Didn't take a rocket scientist, does it, really? I left the game. I was a bit pissed off, but I was in a bad mood when I saw that photo. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know why, because I should have just realised beforehand, but I think it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
It's so, I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, he's just upset that we've drawn against Norwich, but it's not the case. Look, I've accepted it now. I have accepted that he's gone. That's something that I'm a man who's experienced lots of disappointments in his life. So this just adds to the tally. Like, I'm good at just being able to compartmentalize my emotional reaction to these types of things. However, if he goes to Man United, I said this in the group chat, I am turning my back on this game. Like, that cannot happen, like, at all. And I said as well, if there's any justice, he goes somewhere like Barcelona, where what they do and the way they operate just does not affect us. I don't know. Yeah. I would find it really difficult next season to see him at Molineux in a different player's shirt. Jota, I don't mind too much. I think that he was ready to go. I think that he was... I think, and we're all in agreement, that his form suffered with us. Maybe it wasn't the right fit with the way that Nuno was setting out, but Neves could have a statue outside the ground if he decided to commit to this club. So it's really, really tough. It's really, really tough. And there is a lot of anxiety surrounding where he is going to end up next season.
Yeah, I think the ideal world is he plays outside of England. Because, I know, beyond Jota, he is, I know, maybe there's a family aspect. Maybe it's him coming as the boy wonder. Maybe, I don't know, I could speculate all day. But he does have a greater connection than Jota arguably did, despite him just kind of joining at the same time. And I can't quite put my finger on it. I say maybe it's because he was that marquee signing. He was the guy who like put Wolves on the map, and everything you read in the interviews of it, it was like I understood the risks. I wanted to do it, and you know, say, ideally, I want to see him at Barcelona or Juventus.
I agree. I think I can put my finger on what it is. I think Jota was an unknown quantity when he came to us. Really, I mean, yeah. he hadn't really proved himself anywhere else he'd been. But when Neves signed for us, I think there was a collective understanding that he'd made a huge risk in his career. You know, one of the youngest Champions League captains, you know, he'd already was starting to become a bit of a cult figure at Porto. So for him to leave and go to a Championship side who had this big bunch of money, a big load of money kind of chucked at them. And there was a bit of a project there with a new and exciting manager. I get that, but still a huge risk, and he just managed to pull it off, and with such grace throughout the whole time he's been at this club, and played some amazing games and scored some such good goals. I think that's the reason why it's different to Jota personally for me, that he kind of signed up, he knew what the risk was, and he just completely met the challenge and did everything that the job description required of him, really.
Yeah, model pro as well, the way he handles himself off the pitch. And, you know, his family looks so content and happy, which unfortunately makes me think he's going to stay in England. That's one for me. It'll be painful to see him in an opposition shirt. It'll be painful.
He will probably.
He won't celebrate that. He might.
No.
I don't think he'll be pointing to his temple for that one. But do you think?
Can you imagine him scoring an absolute belter?
He
scores a goal like against like one against Derby, and then he's just like, just for the apology celebration. It's like, Ruben, you've scored a worldie, man. Oh no!
Robbie Keane was always really good at not celebrating against us. I thought, like, always carried himself very well. Head down. Head down.
The difficulty with Rob Keane, though, is it was great up until, I reckon, 2004. So when Spurs spanked us, when we got promoted back via the playoffs back then, because he wasn't having to celebrate against that many former teams. The further along he got in his career, he had a habit of consistently scoring. So then when he's playing for Liverpool and he's getting goals against Spurs, and it just snowballs. There must be a good line in that, because I reckon someone like Craig Bellamy must have celebrated against former teams. I mean, let's be honest. How do I say this politely? Actually, no, I don't even care about saying it politely. Bellamy's definitely a shit and would enjoy celebrating against whatever team, wouldn't he?
There is an element of, he's just got that. He's kind of made of different stuff, isn't he? He doesn't really give a shit about anyone or anything, really.
Yeah.
He lived in Cardiff when he played for Man City because he just liked living in Cardiff, basically. So, you know, the bloke, obviously, I think when it comes to loyalty and all that kind of stuff, I think there's it's a different conversation.
I wonder if he wants to stay. I don't know. I wonder if he this has sort of been almost like forced upon him necessarily, you know, like the club has said, well, look, we've got to cash in on you now, to be honest, or you know, whether he actually would love to stay if the club just pushed the boat out a little bit. It'd be nice to know. We'll never find out, but it'd be nice to know which angle it's coming from, you know, whether it's coming from his side or whether it's coming from the club side. I'd wager it's probably club side more so, but to be honest, I don't think any Wolves fan would begrudge him a move for his career from a personal point of view.
Both, to be honest, there might even be something, whether it's official or unofficial, let's say, where it's like, well, we'll make you available for a transfer if we don't play in Europe, which would arguably explain the heightened emotions that actually, it could be the last time he's at Molineux as a Wolves player, but it's because of sort of that game, maybe. And I could understand it. No, so similar with, I think, Jack Grealish had something in his, you know, he had that £100 million release clause in his, because like, well, if someone matches it, then great. And if the ideal platform for Ruben Neves is to play European football. He's clearly good enough. He needs to be around probably better players in a better system, painful, isn't it?
I was thinking about this, though, like with Neves, is his ceiling in regards to starting every match and playing 90 minutes, is his ceiling for that type of career Wolves, or do you think that you could see him starting every match, playing 90 minutes, potentially captaining a squad that is kind of the next step up from us in regards to current form and things like that? What do you think? Or would, do you think he, when he signs for the next club he signs for, is he going to be more of a squad player like Grealish?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you look at Jota at Liverpool, it surprised me. I think, especially since Diaz has come in, he's not getting anywhere near as many minutes now. And I still think he'd rather have it the way he's got it at the moment, you know, potential, you know, playing for quadruple winning team. But I think potentially in Neves, I think he's got another gear, personally. You know, you'll never know until he does it. But I think if you do play for those bigger teams, you have to accept that the rotation is just part and parcel of it, really. I think even the best players, you know, De Bruyne doesn't play every week, does he, for Man City? And it's, I think that they're happy to accept that. But there's more games because they're playing in Europe and they're winning trophies, and they're happy to accept it, I think.
Well, yeah, that would be sort of my thinking, that if he's playing for a team who gets to the latter stages of Europe, whether it's Europa League or Champions League, it adds an extra dozen fixtures on, plus extended cup runs, which don't exactly have at Wolves. And you know, we're saying, oh, I hope he doesn't go to a you know, another Premier League team. I did see online literally just before recording, because I've just gone on Twitter to check, Man City have reportedly told Ilkay Gundogan he's free to leave at the end of the season.
Oh, we'll take him then. Sweet.
Yeah. I'm thinking swap deal, because then at least I think he could, you know, slightly ease my pain a little bit. But seeing someone like Neves play for Man City would be upsetting, because again, you talk about that rotation. He'd fit in with their kind of mould of midfielders like Rodri, I think, quite nicely, in sort of being able to sort of spray it around if they need to, and then get in the mixer a bit and also dictate play. But I just want it to be over. I just want them to say, yeah, we've accepted, we've accepted the 60 million offer from Barcelona, and he'll sign on, you know, 1st of July, and just get it done, get it over with. I don't want the transfer saga.
Yeah. Gives you more time to get people in as well. I mean, not that we do that, do we?
Yeah.
But, you know, it does happen. So fingers crossed. I mean, hopefully he won't go, but I think he probably will. And if he does go, let's get done indoors.
Yeah, exactly. It just feels, which isn't the right way of describing it, because you don't know what's happening at the club. But even when you've got Bruno saying after the game, no, I think Tim Spears might have been Tim Spears, a journalist. So don't go Neves. And Bruno's response was, yeah, I'll be singing it too.
Yeah.
So I know you've got no control over this, but you know, it's tricky. Before we drop onto a few questions from Twitter Corner, what are your thoughts about Bruno at the moment? Because I know we'd sort of spoken the other day about, you know, let's give him the transfer window, let's give him the summer, see where we're up to October, November time. After yesterday, there does seem to be a few more murmurings at the club.
It doesn't help that Lopetegui's available.
No.
Yeah.
I think since that's happened, it's sort of gathered a bit of pace, hasn't it? He doesn't help himself. Oh, go on. Go on.
Can I say something on Lopetegui? I don't think I'd want him to be Wolves manager.
He's quite... I don't know about that. But apparently he's renowned for being reasonably defensive, I think, from my readings up on it. I think Sevilla have scored quite a low amount of goals considering their position in the league and everything. But what's your reasoning behind that one then, Rich?
Because he keeps making kissy eyes at every when he's at a club or about to join one. pretty much. And I know, like, we've spoken about it before, but I feel like once bitten, twice shy. But if all is to be believed, he was going to sign, he was going to join Wolves back.
Oh no, that's fact, isn't it? He's come out and said it. Everyone's come out and said it. It's so, fact. He was going to do it.
Yeah. And he got his head turned by a better job, but he did, but which was the Spain job.
Yeah.
But then he basically then got offered a Real Madrid job a year later and then made Kissy Arthur 2 years later and then kind of got himself basically sacked in the run to a major tournament. And all right, it might have just been very badly advised by what I'm assuming is the same agent that has controlled 90% of Wolves' transfers. But I do get a little bit anxious, and I know he's a good coach, but I am a bit anxious that, well, what if something better comes along whilst he's at Wolves and, you know, it happens sooner rather than later. You know, let's say Lopetegui signs now, right? And then in the summer, it gets to mid-August and Antonio Conte throws a strop because he's not been given an extra 80 million to spend. And Spurs go, oh, I say Wolves could get that Lopetegui. And the whole cycle continues. So I'm scared of getting heartbroken.
Or Neil Warnock decides to have another throw of the dice or something like that. Then, you know, absolutely. Was it, just correct me if I'm wrong, when Lopetegui got sacked by Real Madrid, is that when Zidane took over? Or
I think he kind of came in on the interim for at least half a season or a full season after that as well.
Like, when we're getting linked with managers who took over and then lost their job to fucking Zinedine Zidane, you know, like we've got to kind of pinch ourselves a little bit. And, you know, when it coming back to Bruno,
yeah,
I'm just a bit sick and tired of how much he digs the players out in public. That's never sat well with me personally. And particularly because I don't think he is the full ticket, like managerial wise. I think there's been too many times this season when he hasn't had a plan B, that there has been a couple of times when I thought, hang on a minute. Like, I think it's a bit rich to out some of your players about not being passionate enough, not working hard enough, when personally, I don't think sometimes you work hard enough on trying to figure out some kind of plan when things go a bit tits up.
I don't think he's not helping himself with some of his selections recently. I say yesterday's was baffling, and West Ham, I remember West Ham away, it was just a bit bizarre. It was just like, you know, just chucking a load of players in a random formation, just seeing what happens, sort of thing. I'm sure it's not that.
Brentford as well.
I think, you know, the 2000 season is brilliant, but I want to know what the hell's happened, basically. Something's happened. It's bizarre. Like, the contrast is just so strange.
I think both your points sort of actually line up with one another, that I reckon you could make a really decent argument that Wolves' form dropped off around the time the Janky Hoover
got ostracised, basically.
Yeah. And, like, you can only have that stick approach for so long. And I think we talked about it at the time, being like, well, fair enough, if everyone's on board with that and on the same page and that he's open and honest with the player, then great. But it's not necessarily the most supportive or constructive sometimes, acting like that. And I'd be fascinated to see our form. What was that, about 10 games ago? Like, our form either side of those two instances, because I think that arguably is a catalyst. And then, you know, yes, we've had a smaller squad, so we've probably tired more, and you can see that through some of the injuries and whatever. But I can't get both points, and I think after a while, that might, with system and playing with each other in a way, and just need for summer to recalibrate. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Right, let's head over to Twitter Corner. Now my internet connection's better. Right, I know we've got like two sensible ones and two silly ones, so I'm going to try and get the order right. I know definitely the last one's silly because I can see who did it. Looping on from what we just said. So Nag on Twitter, is Bruno a very good assistant coach slash manager, but put into a driving seat, it's, you know, and when it's going difficult, he struggles. An upgraded Terry Connor, he said.
Bloody hell.
Which, yeah, that might be getting a bit too far.
Yeah.
I mean, guys win a league.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. He has won a domestic league. And I think potentially there's an argument there. I think it's maybe safe to say that the games that we've won, the games that we've won convincingly, it could be down to a masterclass of Bruno tactics, but also I feel it's just when the players gelled well, and those players have been playing together for years now. And yeah, it could be all down to Bruno setting up a team in a certain way. But I think there is a massive case for lots of these players knowing how each other plays well and then taking it upon themselves to do what they do best. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So yeah.
I'd be interested to know if Bruno had a completely new batch of players, whether he'd be able to, who maybe are of the same quality, be able to pull off some of the results we've had. So there's an argument there potentially, but I think the Terry Connor shout is
a stretch.
It's a bit rogue.
He's clearly a good coach. Like, he's clearly a good guy. There's a few games spring to mind where I think he really did do a number on his opposition. United away, Spurs away. I think those were games where you could see a real structured plan, a way of playing that worked perfectly, and the players carried it out really, really well. And all that stuff that you level with those games, you can't level at the last 8 or 9 or 10. I can't see any plan, structure. You know, I wouldn't say tactics, so it's not a bit stretched too far, but yeah, no sort of plan of getting a result other than just like go out and do this and that. Something's not been right the last 8-9 games.
Yeah. Right, next up, so Dean Marston, and I feel like we need to, he sort of said fan cast awards of the season, so it's like funniest moment, fancastian of the season, unsung hero. So initially in my head, I thought, oh, that was just Wolves general, and then realised, oh, it's actually about us ourselves. Because I think I was finally being like, oh, yeah, well, we could do like an unofficial award, you know, end of season awards or whatever. And then realised it would be really, really egotistical if we just did one on ourselves. And even my ego won't stretch that far. I can't even remember what it was. Funniest moment, I think, was probably in the group chat when Stu said all in on Sean Dyche.
Yeah. I'm surprised that hasn't been like, did we not put that on Twitter?
We did, but we didn't out Stu.
Right. I no believe comment. You've said it. I wasn't going to say anything.
I was going to say Stu won't mind. But ironically, wait until question number 4 comes up. But yeah, I think that it was just the phrase all in on Sean
all
Dyche.
All in on Sean Dyche.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that it was a.
I'm still hoping it's a wind up. I'm still hoping.
It's not.
Imagine.
Look at Stu. Look at a picture of Stu. Look at a picture of Sean Dyche.
Have you ever seen in the same room? Have you,
No, I haven't.
Together. There you go.
And I was going to say, for much older listeners, going back, God, about 3 years maybe now, Stu. I can't remember what he actually did, but his vocal cords got really strained and he sounded like Sean Dyche for about 6 months as well. like he'd been eating gravel.
Nice.
Which I reckon Stuart's probably done. Yeah, so definitely that. Again, in terms of what the other ones, Fancastian. I was going to say, actually, the new people who have got involved, so literally, you two and Jeffo, fantastic.
But Wolves have been shit since we've done it. Maybe it's our fault.
Yeah, but
I only talk about losses on here.
I know
shit results.
And Blake. I should mention Blake as well because he did one some last season as well. Blake went through a period when he started of which we kind of won every game. Tom, you basically, Tom Calvert, that is, you basically went through a period of we only talk about losses.
Yeah, I've done a Watford win and everything else has been a loss apart from today, yeah. which isn't a great result either.
Which is it, yesterday. Felt like a loss.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it's just me, just cursed, so I can't get
exactly.
that award.
The way I see it is the roads we do 4 weeks in advance of the show, it gets in players' heads. I don't know how they're looking at my Google spreadsheets, but that's what we're getting into. And probably in terms of unsung heroes, it's probably got to be Little Dan, because the sheer amount of hours he puts in beyond even what I do, to be fair. And all the listeners, I think you're the unsung heroes.
Yeah. Oh, Rich.
Cheap pop and
diplomatic answer there.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Right. So, Todd, Minnesota Todd, no longer Colorado Todd, who did go to that, which I thought was really cool, the Bulls USA Chicago meetup for the game against Norwich. Basically, any Wolves fan who is American all met up in Chicago, watched the game with George Ellacobe, and I just thought, yeah.
That's cool.
If I had the time and resources, I'd have done that from Wolverhampton. But, you know, anyway, so I know Todd was there, along with a few other American listeners. He says, is there a chance any of the Fancastians were for Wolverhampton Little Civic on May 20th, 2003 for the Norma Jean and Me Without You concert?
No.
I'd have been 11.
That's player final year, isn't it? Is that player final
year?
Yeah.
It's also very near player final date.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that. That's what first struck me about that. Yeah.
I was trying to work out who age range would work it out. I think it... I don't think potentially me, Cheltenham Tom or Gully, maybe Andy or Stu.
Potentially. I mean, Andy strikes me as someone, I mean, Stu, didn't Stu say on the WhatsApp the other day that he just like doesn't like music or something like that? So maybe.
No, Stu's got a very eclectic taste in music. So I'm giving their bloody podcast a plug, even when one of them isn't on it, but they recently did a Cage Fighters episode called Music Cast, which we should do as a fan cast group where we just talk about music and what they're into. And I think Stu's three favourite albums, one was, he said it last week on the show, I think it was Definitely Maybe. Yeah. And then he also said like ABBA.
Right.
So he hits either end of the spectrum, to be fair. And I reckon Andy's probably a good shout, because Andy's got decent taste in music, in my opinion. By which I mean we both like the Strokes. Right. So, last but not least, for 3 out of 3 questions that I've brought up, Stu Hall. God, I can't get through this one. Okay. With this wet, humid weather today bringing out the worms, how many do you think the King could get through in a minute? By the King, he means Sean Dyche.
The King.
Christ.
The King.
Mate, that picture of Dyche there with the kind of suction he's got going on. You can just imagine that face getting down in the grass. I dread to think how many worms he'd get in that battle.
Do you think he hoovers them up like a small child has spaghetti? Like,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Lady in the Tramp vibes.
Yeah.
Lady in the Dyche. Chew up. Yeah. Oh, that's broke me. Oh, I'm gonna Photoshop that later. That were you going for? I'm going 6. Because let's be honest, there is no right or wrong answer.
Mm-hmm. Double figures.
Double figures, yeah.
Or like those, like almost like sour worms. I guess it depends on his technique. If he's hoovering them up, I don't think he's going to be able to do many. I think he's just like grabbing handfuls. Such a weird thing. That was from this season as well, wasn't it? Like that's. Was it last season? Either way, it needs to be talked about more, frankly. Like the Premier League manager eating live worms. Crikey. Right. Well, that's probably a good place to end the show, as my one man conversation about Stu Hall. But yeah, right. Big thanks to everyone who's listened live. Big thanks to everyone who's listened back as well, as a podcast or on YouTube. We do massively appreciate it, guys, and thank you for your support throughout the season. I sound like it's going to be our last one. We've still got Liverpool preview, Liverpool reaction, at least two end of season ones, as well as many ideas that I've got for us to do silly nonsense throughout the summer as well. Big thanks to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media and 90 Min Football Network. Make sure you check us out on social media if you're not doing so already. That's at Wolves Fancast on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And of course, if you're on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and also tap the subscribe button as well. But until next time, it's goodbye from Tom. Okay, it's goodbye from Tom C.
Bye, Wolves fans.
It's goodbye from Tom S.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time.